Welcome back to AI Daily. I'm Sarah, eager to dive into another fascinating topic.
And I'm Alex. Yesterday, we talked about neural networks as the foundation of AI, and you had such great questions about how they actually learn.
Right. I kept thinking about it after we finished recording. Like, I get that neural networks are like digital brain cells, but how do you actually teach millions of them to recognize patterns? It seems impossible.
That's exactly what we're diving into today, the training process. And it's actually a lot like teaching, which makes it easier to understand than you might think.
Okay, but before we get into the how, I'm curious about something. With all this news about Switzerland being so careful about using only public data for their Apertus model, it made me wonder, what kind of data are we talking about when training AI?
Great question. Think about it this way. If you wanted to teach a child to recognize different animals, you'd show them lots of pictures of cats, dogs, elephants, right? AI training works similarly, but on a massive scale.
So instead of showing a few hundred pictures to a child, we're showing millions of examples to the neural network?
Exactly. For something like ChatGPT, they use text from books, websites, articles, conversations, basically a huge library of human language. For image recognition AI, they used millions of labeled photographs.
But wait, that brings up what Switzerland was worried about, right? Some of that data might be copyrighted or private.
You've hit on one of the biggest debates in AI right now. Traditional AI companies have used whatever data they could find on the internet. But Switzerland said, hey, we're only going to use data that's definitely public and ethical to use.
That's actually really important. But does using only public data make their AI less powerful?
It's a trade-off. Switzerland's Apertus might not be as capable as models trained on everything, but it's more transparent and ethically sound. It's like learning from a carefully curated library versus learning from everything you can find, including stuff you maybe shouldn't have access to.
That makes sense. So once you have all this data, how do you actually use it to train the neural network?
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Remember yesterday when I said each artificial neuron is like a basic calculator? Well, training is the process of adjusting all those digital neurons to work together perfectly.
How do you adjust millions of calculators, though? That sounds like it would take forever.
Great question. Let's use an analogy. Imagine you're teaching someone to recognize handwritten numbers. You show them a handwritten 7 and ask, what number is this?
Okay, and if they say 2 instead of 7, you tell them they're wrong.
Exactly. And here's the key. The neural network looks at why it got it wrong and makes tiny adjustments to all those digital neurons. Then you show it another 7, and it gets a little bit better.
Oh, so it's like learning from mistakes, but doing it millions of times really fast.
Perfect. You show it millions of examples, it makes millions of tiny corrections, and eventually all those artificial neurons learn to work together to recognize patterns accurately.
That's actually beautiful in a weird way. But I imagine this takes a lot of computer power.
Massive amounts. This is why companies like Microsoft, Google, and OpenAI have these huge data centers with thousands of powerful computers all working together. Training a model like GPT-5 costs millions of dollars in electricity and computing time.
Millions of dollars just to train one AI model? That's incredible. Is that why Switzerland partnered with universities and government? Because it's so expensive?
Exactly. AI training has become so resource intensive that it's really only possible for big tech companies or national initiatives. Switzerland pulled resources from EPFL, ETH Zurich, and their National Computing Center.
So it's not like someone can just train a powerful AI in their garage anymore.
Not anymore. In the early days of AI, researchers could train useful models on regular computers. But today's powerful AI requires what we call supercomputers, rooms full of specialized processors working together.
This is making me think about something else. Yesterday, you mentioned that Microsoft's AI models are specialized for speech. Does that mean the training process is different for different types of AI?
Great connection. Yes, the training process adapts based on what you want the AI to learn. For Microsoft's speech model, they fed it thousands of hours of human speech with labels about emotion, tone, and natural rhythm.
So Microsoft said, we want an AI that's really good at understanding and generating speech. So they focused all their training on speech-related data?
Exactly. Instead of training on everything like ChatGPT does, they specialized. It's like training to become a professional pianist versus learning a little bit about every instrument.
That's so smart. But I'm curious about something practical. When these AI models make mistakes, can you retrain them or do you have to start over?
Another excellent question. This is actually one of the trickiest parts of AI development. Generally, you can't just, teach an existing model new information easily. It's more like, once someone has learned to play piano a certain way, it's hard to change their technique.
So if ChatGPT doesn't know about something that happened yesterday, OpenAI can't just quickly add that information.
Right. They typically need to train a new version of the model with updated data, which is time-consuming and expensive. This is why you sometimes see AI models with knowledge cutoffs. They only know things up to when they finish training.
That makes a lot of sense. What about Switzerland's approach of being so transparent about their training process? Is that unusual?
Very unusual. Most AI companies keep their training methods secret. What data they used, how they processed it, what techniques they applied. Switzerland published everything, which is revolutionary.
Why would companies want to keep it secret?
Competitive advantage, mostly. If you figured out a really good way to train AI models, you don't want your competitors copying your methods. But Switzerland said transparency and public benefit are more important than competitive advantage.
That's actually really respect that. So if someone wanted to understand exactly how Apertus was trained, they could.
Absolutely. They publish their code, their data sources, their training methodology, everything. It's like open source software, but for AI models.
This is fascinating, but I have to ask, with all this training happening, are we getting close to AI that thinks like humans?
That's the million-dollar question. Even with all this sophisticated training, these models are still doing pattern recognition, not thinking. They've gotten incredibly good at recognizing and reproducing patterns in human language and behavior, but that's different from understanding.
So when I have a conversation with ChatGPT, it's not actually understanding what I'm saying. It's just really good at predicting what a helpful response would look like.
Exactly. It's learned patterns like, when humans ask this type of question, this type of response is usually helpful. It's incredibly sophisticated pattern matching, but not consciousness or true understanding.
That actually makes me feel better about using these tools. I can appreciate how impressive they are without worrying that they're thinking entities.
Perfect perspective. And understanding the training process helps you use AI more effectively, too. You know it's working from patterns it learned during training, so you can craft better prompts and have realistic expectations.
Speaking of which, what should we expect to see in AI training in the future?
Based on current trends, I think we'll see more specialized training like Microsoft's approach, more ethical training approaches like Switzerland's, and probably new techniques that require less computational power and data.
That sounds really promising. I love that we're seeing innovation not just in making AI more powerful, but in making it more ethical and accessible.
Exactly. Tomorrow we're going to explore something really exciting, how AI is being applied in creative industries like art, music, and writing. We'll see how the training we discussed today enables these amazing creative capabilities.
Ooh, that sounds really interesting. I want to understand how the same technology that learned to recognize patterns can also create beautiful art and music.
It's going to be a fun one. We'll talk about how training on creative works enables AI to generate new creative content and what that means for artists and creators.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us on AI Daily, everyone. Tomorrow, we'll dive into the creative side of AI and discover how training enabled artistic capabilities.
Cheerio tomorrow for another fascinating exploration of artificial intelligence.